Let's open our Bibles in the book of Genesis. We'll be in Genesis. We'll read Genesis 27. I'll read verse 41. Then Genesis 35, verse number 27 to verse 29. I'm starting from Genesis 27, verse 41. Then Genesis 35. Verse 28, let's say 27, 28, and 29. Chapter number 27, ufundeka ngalolu ndlela, verse 41. Now, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father has blessed him. And Esau said to himself, the days of mourning my father, or the days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. Chapter 35, I'm reading from 27 to 29. And Jacob came to his father Isaac at Mamre, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had sojourned. Now the days of Isaac were 108 years, and Isaac breathed his last, and he died and was gathered to his people of old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. May the good God bless the reading of his word. Bazalane, I'm approaching a subject today that is really a subject of no importance in the church today. The subject of repentance, forgiveness for one another. Repentance towards what we have done to one another, forgiving one another, is a subject that is of minor importance these days. So I'm approaching it looking at the story of Jacob and Isaac, who were brothers. There was logo. They were born from one mother, from one father, the same day. So they were twins. So we're looking at the subject, Bazalane, for the fact that there is so much unwillingness to forgive, so much unwillingness to ask for pardon. People are not willing to forgive one another. People are not willing to ask for pardon. Because of pride, people don't see it right that they may ask for pardon from their own brothers. And people don't see it right to forgive without a price. So we're going to learn and see how the Lord would like us to look at this major issue of scripture, but minor issue in the lives of the people today. It is a major issue on the scripture because we can see how the New Testament, Bazalane, is teaching us when it comes to forgiving one another. One scripture, which is the Lord's Prayer, and we pray it every day or every Sunday when we are in the church. It says, forgive us our sins as we also forgive those that sin or trespass against us. So, the Lord should look on how we forgive one another so that He forgives us also the sins that we do on daily basis to Him. Not necessarily that the Lord look at how we forgive one another, then He forgive us the sin from Adam. That is not the forgiveness that the scripture is talking about. Each and every day, we do kinds of sins. We think of sinful things, as my brother was saying. And the Lord is not pleased with that kind of living or that kind of thinking. And our brothers and sisters, they sin also against us. So as they sin against us, we have to forgive them their sins. And the Lord forgives us our own sins also. That's why the Bible says He is faithful and just when we ask for forgiveness, when we come in repentance to Him, He forgives us. So it's a major issue in the scripture, forgiveness. We can see, Bazalwane, the writing of Apostle Paul, I'm reading Colossians 3, verse 13, it says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Ephesians also chapter number 4 verse 32 speaks of these things. We ought to forgive one another. I'm saying, Bazalane, I'm quoting this scripture because it looks like a minor issue to forgive one another. But the scripture makes it a major issue. So now the question, I think for this subject, Bazalwane, is the question which the Apostle Peter asked Jesus Christ. Lord, how many times may my brother sin against me that I may forgive him? Is it 7 times? That is the question. How long may my brother sin against me? The question that the Apostle Peter asked when he was with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, we know he has given him an answer. He says not even 7 times. But 70 times 7, you ought to forgive one another or your brother. And the Apostle Peter said to him, Lord, then increase our faith. It shows, Bazalwane, forgiveness has to come as something coming from the Lord or as obedience from the word of God. I'm saying, forgiving one another is impossible unless the Lord is really involved in that turning of the heart. Because forgiveness, Bazalwane, works hand in hand with repentance. So since we are living in these times, Bazalwane, where people, they think it is right to come to the Lord and ask for forgiveness, but then they are not willing themselves to forgive their brothers. But they see it right to come to the Lord to obtain forgiveness and ask the Lord to forgive them. But they don't see it necessary that they may pardon one another, or they don't see it necessary that they may ask for pardon from their brother. You realize that you have sinned against me. You go to the Lord and say, Lord, I have sinned against my brother. Please forgive me. And you come with a belief in your heart that the Lord has forgiven you. But you still don't see it necessary that you go and approach your brother and say, my brother, I have sinned against you. The word of the Lord has spoken to me that I must repent from sinning against you. I have come to you to ask for forgiveness. We don't see it right. We're living in that time where it is right to walk with the Lord while we are not walking with your brethren. Where we think it is right just to focus to our own spiritual lives outside or not focusing on the whole church? How do I pray for you if I have not come to you to ask you to forgive me, or I have not come to you to forgive you? That is the question we should pose. But we're living in that kind of generation, twisted-minded generation. But the word of the Lord is bringing us back that we may start to think about these things. These are practical things, bazalwane, ezenzekayo in our lives, where it is bound that we will have clashes. It is bound that someone will step in your toes. But the question, what do you do? Both of you, what do you do? Because this subject, bazalwane, is based on two people. There's Jacob, there is Esau. Two people. But let us look now, bazalwane, at this remarkable story of Jacob and Isaac. A very remarkable story, bazalwane, that we can learn from. A story that is moved with godliness in itself. A journey that is led by God to repentance of the other brother and forgiveness from the other brother. Esau, a brother who was betrayed by his mother. Esau, a brother who was robbed by his own brother. Let's find bazalwane in the book of Genesis, especially chapter number 27, we're reading towards to 35. We find Isaac, son of Abraham, who had two sons, who were brothers and twins. The Bible is telling us in his days, when he was approaching to die, when he realized that he will die, he called his elder son. It was a custom at the time that you bring your elder son and you bless him. So he called his elder son that he may bless before he died. The Bible is telling us he could not even actually see at the time. He was so old that he could not see. He can only touch and hear. And he called his son Esau. And he says to him, go hunt, and whatever you catch from hunting, come and cook it for me, that I may eat and bless you. And then the Bible is telling us, Rebecca heard her husband saying this thing to the son. And while Esau went to the field to hunt, this woman came and told his favorite son, Jacob, and says, your father is about to die. He wants to bless your elder brother, Esau. So, I want you to go and take Esau's place. I want you to go to obtain Esau's blessings from your father. I want you to have a gimmick to put on some things that your father will think that you are Esau, when you are not Esau and you are Jacob. Kill a sheep and take the wool of the sheep and put into your hands, into your neck, or put the clothes that Esau wear, because they will smell the perfume that he puts, and come to your father, he will bless you. And Jacob did likewise. And Jacob obtained Esau's blessings from his father. And when Esau came from the field, he found Jacob being blessed. And when he came and he gave his father the food, the father says, I've already eaten, I've already given my blessing. Who are you? I'm Esau, your elder son. Says, I've already blessed someone. The Bible gave us all an last one, the corner, in verse number 41, tells us that Esau realized then his brother cheated him and his mother betrayed him. He hated his brother and had
willingness to kill him. He hated him and made a vow, wafunga, wathi, the days of mourning for my father are approaching. At that time of mourning for my father, in other words, la baba wam so zofa is going to be dead, and the day we bury my father, while we all come together as a family mourning, I will kill my brother Jacob, for he has stolen and cheated me of my blessings. Bazalwan, tell me, you blame this guy for hating his brother. Tell me that you blame him. Really, you cannot blame him. But hate is sin. As the Bible teaches us, Bazalwane, hate is sin. And hate leads to bigger sin, which is to kill. The Apostle John writes for us as the church and says, he who hates his brother is a murderer. So, the scripture teaches us also, though Jacob was wrong, but Esau hated his brother, even wanted to kill him. So we can see that hate is linked with killing. So we cannot afford to hate one another, because it is the same as that we are a murderer. You wish your brother was dead, but he was put in this situation, Bazalwane, of hating his brother. He was put in this situation of willing to kill his brother. But the question that I can pose is, how long will you hate your brother? How long will you remain wherever you are with hating your brother, willing to kill him, not forgiving your brother? How long will that be in your heart? And at the same time, question that I can pose to Jacob, how long will you remain wherever you are without coming to your brother and saying, my brother, I have sinned against you, forgive me? Now, Bazalwane, we have a situation here. Two brothers hating one another. They can't stay in one house. Now, one brother is sent to live in a far land in his uncle Laban. So Jacob fled to Laban because he's running away from who? From his brother. His brother wants to kill him. His brother hates him. This man has been robbed. Ageko, no one between us, Bazalwane, la. He has been cheated and robbed in this way. All his blessings were stolen from him. He had a reason to hate. The other one had a reason to run. But the question, how long will you run? The question, how long will you hate? Bazalwane, we see then Jacob living in the house of Laban, where he rent to. We see him prospering there. We see him being blessed by God. We see him looking after the sheep and the cattle, all the livestock of Laban. We see those sheep multiplying. But the same man who robbed his brother, because there is no sin that can go unpunished, he also was robbed. His temporary chastisement came to him, Bazalwane. Ukushaywa kwesikhashana. UNkulunkulu uyasivumela ukuba singene enhluphekweni yesikhashana. So if there is a sin that I have done against my brother, God's chastisement will come upon me. God did not let that go without punishment. No sin will go without punishment. He wept 7 years for a wife. But then the night of wedding came after 7 years of hard labor and stress and sweating. And they told Bazalwane ukuthi the night of wedding, the woman was not the one that he wept for. The woman was not the one that he loved. The woman was not the one he wanted to marry and have children with. When he opened the veil, when they were already put together and says, you are husband, you are wife, whatever God has put together, no man can separate. But after they've said those things, he realized that is not the woman he wept for. Somebody's cheating him. Just as he cheated his brother,
also. Chastisement in his own life. Then Laban came and says to him, since you complain, I'll give you the one that you wanted to marry. But I want you to work another 7 years for me. So now he had to work for something that he has already worked for. But Bazalane, my point is, he prospered. He had many sheep and many goats at the end of the day that he received from Laban as a pay also. But he was also cheated when it comes to that again. He prospered. He had many things. The life that he lived, that prosperity, the life of having everything, did not take away that guilty conscience that he has cheated his brother. But as we live today, prosperity in other people's life do, for some reason, erase in their minds the things that they've done that is wrong. They think they can just blow it out of their mind just because they are prosper. Prosperity at this time, let's feel like one of us, boosts people's egos. But we learn in the life of Jacob, when he prospered, he remembered the sin that he has done. God came to him and said to him, I want you to go back to your land of your fathers. And going back to the land of your fathers calls him to repent from the sin that he has done. Calls him to come and be reconciled with his brother. So prosperity did not cover his face from reality. But namuhla bazana, when I have good life, I forget about the people that I hurt before. But the scripture does not teach us, bazana, right, we must forget the things that we have done. But that is why prosperity outside God becomes a curse. And prosperity is not supposed, but people who prosper outside God, the same prosperity becomes a curse in their lives. They live a life of isolation. They think now they are better than people. People who prosper outside God. They will never come and say, my brother, I wronged you. Even when they wrong you on the road, you can see people just driving big cars when you're driving a small one. When it's your turn to go, they go first. And when you look at them, they look at you as you are nothing. They can't say sorry. You must say sorry. Because they are better. But in the life of Jacob, it didn't work that way, Bazalwan. This is a man that was led by God to have this heart of remembering his sin. To we remember our own sin. To we bring our own sin unto God. We see Jacob coming to God and praying and say, God, give me strength that I may go back to my brother. Do we go to God and say, give me strength, O God, I may go to my brother. Soft in his heart. That when I come to him, do we pray for one another and say, soft in my brother's heart, so that when I go to him, that he may forgive me. I've done great sin in his life. Do we recognize the things that are as Zenzayo towards one another? Or do we wait for somebody else to recognize and come to you and say, I forgive you for what you have done, or but you did not come to say, I apologize. This is a different thing that we learn from the life of Jacob. Jacob has then listened to the voice of the Lord. The Bible is telling us God came to him and says, I want you to go back to the land of your fathers. 20 years after he left his father's house. 20 years after he stolen the blessing of his brother. He had to go back. He does not only remember the sin that Laban did to him. Many people remember what people do to us. We are failing to remember what we do to people. Then we think hate cancels another hate. Since someone has hurt me, it is right that I hate someone else. I am also being hurt. That's what we think. It is fair for me to hate
and never asked for pardon, because people, they hate me and then they won't ask for pardon. But Jacob did not view it that way. He left Bazalwan. We see him leaving Laban's house, looking for his brother to obtain forgiveness. We see Jacob taking a step, Bazalwan, of faith, praying first to God. We see Jacob taking a step of faith, not knowing what his brother is going to do to him, but coming back to 20 years of living fine, 20 years of having everything you want, having the wife that you wanted, have the children that you wanted, 20 years. Now you must go back to the person who you had 20 years ago. You don't know what the person has been thinking about you. The last time you heard from him was when he said, "I want to kill my brother." Now he must go back. Now he must risk everything that he has. He must risk his children. He must risk the livestock that he received. He must risk it all and go back to God. What do we risk, Bazalwan? To come to our brother and say, "I'm sorry," when we have hurt our brothers. What can we give to be forgiven? It is not our heart of repentance. Jacob repented from his sin. Repentance means he turned away, or he changed his attitude and he said, "I have wronged my brother. I'm prospering, but I remember my sin." Then we see him working out that repentance. It is very important, Mr. Busamu, when you find repentance, when God gives you repentance. We know that repentance is a gift from God. God gave Jacob a heart that will repent. We also receive repentance as a gift from God. But when God gives you that repentance, you must work out then that repentance. It must be seen that you have repented from your sin by coming and say, "Forgive me." That is what we find from Jacob. He repents. He works out his repentance by first looking for his brother. The same brother he left 20 years ago. He comes and he looks for him. So let's learn these few things from Jacob, Bazalwan. Number one, Jacob remembered what he did and what he did was wrong. He could not live a life of prosperity and forget what he did. He did not live and think, "Oh, it is well with my soul. For as long as I prosper, I don't have to come and ask for forgiveness." Prosperity is not a substitution for humbleness. He took a step of faith. We have seen that already. Then thirdly, he made it his business to find forgiveness. People, they don't make it their business to find forgiveness anymore. They make it God's business. As long as I can pray, as long as it is fine with me. The people, they take away from their minds what they've done. But Jacob took responsibility and was on a journey looking for his brother. He humbled himself before God. He prayed. That is humbleness. He realized that God is sovereign. Only God can make the heart of his brother soft. But Jacob shows us that only God can change the heart of a man. He prayed. Not this morning we prayed. We pray that God can bless our children. We pray God to bless our families, our marriage. We pray God to bring people in this church. As we're going to move from life stand in here to another stand where maybe we'll be exposed. But we pray. Why? We know it is not in our hands to bring everybody. It is not in our hands to save somebody. But we pray that God may do it. Why? Because God is sovereign. If he wants to do it, he will do. If he doesn't want to do it, he will not. And then he prays. and said, God, soften my brother's heart. I wronged him. That's what the prayer is supposed to be. But now I'm coming to him to ask for forgiveness. That is what Jacob did. So Jacob did not become a hypocrite, Bazalwan. You know what is a hypocrite? It's that person who prayed to God and said, I'm asking Lord that my brother may forgive me. Then he stopped there. He doesn't take a step to his brother. That is hypocritical. You want God to do everything for you. Where is human responsibility? We believe in God's sovereignty and human responsibility. Where is human responsibility? So Nati Bazalwan, as we come and learn forgiving one another, there is human responsibility. We pray, God, may I obtain forgiveness from my brother. God, make his heart soft, but you also stand up and come to your brother. That is human responsibility. So Jacob did not become a hypocrite. This is by Peri. When he approached where his brother was, he sent 200 female goats and a lot of hundreds, again, male goats, 40 camels who were milking and having their own calves. He sent to his brother as a gift, showing remorse, showing that he's sorry. He gave this gift as a sign of remorse. And we see, Bazalwan, this Jacob lived in distress. What's that? Stress is just for the fact that he does not have peace between him and his brother. Do we have distress in our life? Do we find it stressing us when we don't have peace with our own brothers? Now let us learn from the side of Esau also. Remember, Esau is in another place. 20 years. We just observed Jacob, how he feels. Let's learn from Esau also. A man who was betrayed. A man who was cheated. A man who's got the right to hate. And every person, every person will feel the same if he's cheated in the same way. We might think we're this super Bazalwane, but your heart, we know that we will feel the same if somebody does that to ourselves. We will have this hatred and this sin in our hearts until the word of God speaks to us. That is why it is very important. So Esau was angry at his brother. But Buga Bazoran, let us learn something. When he was angry at his brother, he heard his father 20 years ago saying to Jacob, when you go to Laban, do not marry a foreign wife. I want you to marry a wife that will be respectful to me as a father. The Bible tells us that Esau had that advice that was going to Jacob, and he also went to marry a good wife. And he also went to marry a good wife as a respect to his father. The same father who didn't bless him. As a respect to his mother. The same mother who cheated him. So the fact that he hates Jacob, he didn't see it as a right to hate his father. But as we come to collusions and disagreements with our fellow brethren, do we know that there is a father to be obeyed now? God is our father to be obeyed. Esau, first thing, he obeyed his father. Do we know that we have got a Father in heaven that we must obey? And he speaks through this word that we must obey him. As he was forced to hate his brother, but God softened his heart to forgive his brother. When his brother prayed, he also took a step to meet his brother. When he hears that his brother is looking for him to ask for forgiveness, he took a step from wherever he was. He took 400 men. 400 men. That is a sign also that he prospered wherever he was. 400 people to follow you. You must have something, eh? He prospered, but in distress. Not like Jacob, But that prosperity did not also hid himself from the reality that his brother is looking for him to ask for forgiveness. The brother who stole everything from him. But Esau took a step to meet his brother.
Bazalwane, when your brother is trying or is showing that he's asking for forgiveness to you,
do we take a step and come towards him also to grant him that kind of pardon he's asking for?
These things doesn't happen today. But this is what the Bible teaches us. The other brother is coming closer to ask for forgiveness. The other brother is standing up from wherever he was to hear what his brother...
But remember, he said, I hate my brother and I want to kill him.
We'll see how God works. We'll see how God grants repentance and also grants forgiveness, or meaning the ability to forgive to the other brother. So he comes. Then he meets the gifts along the way in which his brother was sending to him.
But he did not consider those gifts. He did not look at the gifts and say, since my brother is giving me so much, I must forgive him. The Bible tells us, Bazalwane, he did not even look at the gifts. He jumped all these things. He went straight to his brother. And when he was coming towards his brother, Jacob, the Bible tells us, he knelt down 7 times as a sign of humbleness. The same one who prospered. The same one who's got everything. But he remembered his sin. He knelt down and humbled himself 7 times. And his brother came and hugged and embraced him and kissed him in the cheek or neck. And he asked, why have you sent the gifts before? Then he said, this one says, I want you to soften him. He said, no, I don't want your gift.
The brother did not want a gift. He wanted a man who will humble himself and show that he knows that he is wrong.
Sam, when you come to ask for forgiveness, when we come to God to ask for forgiveness, we don't bring gifts. Even if you bring your gifts, God doesn't look at your gift.
He has chosen us to be Christians, not because there was something that we can give. That is why also when we come to our brothers to ask for forgiveness, sending a gift doesn't do any good unless we humble ourselves and the Lord shall lift us up.
Esau, man cheated, man betrayed. He considered his brother's humbleness. And he also humbled himself, came towards his brother, hugged him, and they both cried together.
As a sign, Bazalwane, naye, wherever he was, he was distressed that he's living without forgiving his brother. And when his brother came to ask for forgiveness, he received forgiveness. Because his brother listened to God when he says, repent, go back to your brother. Let us repent and come back to God for forgiveness. Coming back to our own brothers for forgiveness. Sibona Esau, Bazalwane, as a sign of a forgiving God, a picture of Christ Jesus. He's not him, it's just a picture. Why am I saying so? He did not consider anything Jacob had so that he grant him forgiveness.
When we come to Jesus, he does not consider what we have, but he considers when we have repented, what is it that we do? Do we repent and remain proud? Or do we repent and humble ourselves? Repent and turn away from your sin so that the gift of the Holy Spirit may be given. You have to repent and turn away from your sin so that all of you may be granted the gift of life. This is what Esau is proving, is also proving to us. There was nothing that Jacob could give Bazalwane. All the wealth that he had, he could not give. There is nothing that we can give also to obtain forgiveness. From God, there is nothing we can give. If you have nothing in your hand, be grateful that at least you have a heart that God can work on, that you may come to be forgiven. It is not a matter of putting your money in an envelope and bribe God so that God gives you something. But it's a matter of heart. Bazalwane, as poor as you are, or as poor as we are, if we humble ourselves, we can find pardon of our sins. Now we see Esau, a good example of God, of Christ, the forgiver of sin. While there was this alienation between the two, while they were still enemies, the Bible says he came and embraced his brother. They were still enemies, but they had to be restored to their former state of being brothers. That's why the Bible also says, there's nothing that we gave, but at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still enemies of God, God reconciled us to himself by granting us repentance, and we have to work out that repentance by asking for forgiveness. And God granted us that forgiveness because we humbled ourselves. Can we please humble ourselves towards one another? Can we repent from our sins towards one another? Can we forgive? Can we ask for forgiveness? As God also forgive us. That is a sign that we see from Esau. A type of a Christ at this time. A person who grants forgiveness when the other one does not deserve it. We have not deserved to be Christians. But Jesus died for us. And after he died for us, we still don't deserve that kind of mercy. But God saw it right. Jacob did not deserve, Bazalwane. Truly speaking, he did not deserve to be forgiven for what he did. He did not deserve. So now we learn, Bazalwane, that repentance and forgiving one another leads to what we call fellowship. If we repent, I sin against my brother, I repent, and my brother forgives me, these two things, when they come together, they lead to fellowship. We cannot fellowship unless we are together and we are one. Two cannot walk together unless they are one. Even married people cannot be together unless they agree. So we see repentance from Jacob's side. We see forgiveness or forgiving from Esau's side, leading to fellowship. Little Bible, and Isaac breathed his last when he was old. That's where we read, chapter 35. And he was full of days. His sons, Esau and Jacob, they buried him, Bazalwane. Remember, they hated one another. Esau hated him. And he ran away for 20 years. Now they came together. They were reconciled. When we are reconciled, there is fellowship. That's why, Nati, when we are reconciled with God, we have fellowship with one another. So they had the fellowship of being brothers. They were reconciled and were restored to be brothers. And then that resulted in fellowship. They came together 40 years later. It was 40 years after the cheating, the robbery had happened. And then their father died. They came together. There's a reason, Bazalwane, they came together. Because once there is restoration, once there is reconciliation, repentance, and forgiveness, there has to be fellowship. We fellowship here with one another because we love one another. And we've got no grudges. If we do have grudges to one another, we have to forgive one another. We fellowship here together because we have fellowship with God. This is what we learn in this tale of two brothers. A tale of repentance, of forgiveness that led to fellowship. Can we forgive one another? Can we ask pardon from God and not being so full of ourselves and also come to one another and say, my brother, I've done you wrong. Can we learn then to forgive when we see one another humbling himself. When you see the other one humbling himself, can we learn to forgive? As Christ also has forgiven us. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive one another. That is a prayer that we pray. Lord, how many times may my brother sin against me that I may forgive him? Is it 7 times? No, it is not 7 times. It's 70 times 7. Oh Lord, increase our faith. May we find it right in our hearts that we ask for forgiveness. May it be for our hearts that we give pardon to one another. May it be from our hearts that we cry and say, God, we have sinned against you. Forgiving one another as God has forgiven us. Repentance, forgiveness, bringing us together to fellowship. May the good God be with us. And until we meet again in the fellowship of the believers, we can stand on our feet as my brother will pray.